The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey guys, I'm back with an old friend of the show's, Angel May. So you guys will remember her from the Color Me Dead podcast, which is unfortunately went away probably forever, as I'm told, just due to time restraints and other things that are positive. So it's nothing negative. It's just good things happening between her and Nikki and in their personal lives. And just not a lot of time to put in the research and stuff in a podcast anymore. Angel, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I think the last time we had you on, we were talking Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes.
Because you live a stone's throw away.
I do. I do. It's gotten very popular. Very popular.
That's what I hear.
We see a lot. We're just now coming into the tourist season. We have had a lot of celebrities out the last couple of years. But now that it's warming up and the snow is melting and you can actually get out to like Blind Frog Ranch, where a lot of supernatural and paranormal activity is, and then Skinwalker Ranch, you still can't, without knowing people and having some ins, you can't really get onto Skinwalker Ranch. You can drive out, you can go down the driveway, but it's still armed guard. It's still pretty closed off, but a lot of people come down here just to get a peek. But very they cool. Do guided tours for Blind Frog, where we have a lot of like UFO and unexplained sightings out there. And there's also a natural spring, like a hot spring out there that people like to go and visit because it reportedly has healing properties to it. So very interesting out there.
So if you was to get in your car and drive to Skinwalker Ranch, how long would it take you?
About 11 minutes.
That's what I thought. You were like really, really close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not far from the house.
Okay, so originally today, we started off, before we started recording, we were talking about your house because you have an awesome house. It like is the epitome of spooky haunted house. If you were gonna put a house in a movie that all the kids would be afraid of and have stories of, it would be your house. Agree?
Yeah. Yes.
So it's absolutely gorgeous. I fell in love with it. As a matter of fact, I was... that's why I had you send me pictures earlier because I wanted to show Tracy and I was telling her how awesome it was, but I couldn't find it. I was flipping through like all your pictures and I was like, I know there's a picture in here because I saw it and I couldn't find it. And I said, I'll just have her send me some.
But oh, yeah.
How old is that house?
The house was built in 1890. So we're over 130 years old, the original structure.
And you said that it's been in your husband's family the entire time.
Yep, since it was built. John Sitaway is like his great-great-grandpa. And he was the gentleman that owned the very first lumber mill here in town. And he hand-selected all the lumber that went into this home. And he built his wife her dream home, and which is the Victorian that you see now with the carousel room. It has had a lot of additions to it. My husband and his dad are the ones that put the big wraparound porch around the whole house. So that was added in the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, it looks like I would have thought that was original on there. They matched it up perfect.
Yeah, they painstakingly cut out every slat, everything to go onto that porch because they wanted it to be of the period. So originally it had awnings, no porch, and willow trees just covering the entire property. And then Spencer and his dad are the ones that put the white wraparound porch. We had an outbuilding, like a covered porch on the back that started to basically disintegrate. And we tore that all down and redid it a couple of summers ago.
So. And the house is listed as a landmark, right?
Yes, it is a registered landmark for Uinta County. It was one of the very first homes built in this town. And the way that it was acquired, I guess, is that depending on who lived in it, whichever family member, somebody got married and it was given to them, it would be traded for other properties because we have other homes and other plots here in town. So it was traded to Spencer's grandma, and she has passed, but it was Aunt Tess's, and then it went to Grandma Carol, and then from Grandma Carol it went to my mother-in-law, and now it's ours.
Now, obviously, a house that's that old has seen its share of tragedy. It just would make sense. Yes, and that you said there's been some family members, obviously, through the years pass away in the house.
Yes. Spencer's father passed away in my home in the early 2000s. He actually fell asleep and did not wake up in my room. And he is one of the stronger presences, energies in my home. Grandpa passed away in this home, and multiple family members from, early 1900s all the way through. So there's a lot of character, there's a lot of energy, a lot of friends that still hang out in the house for sure.
Everything positive.
We have one, we call him the tall man, and he's not malevolent by any means, but he's not friendly. He doesn't make you feel welcome, and he generally hangs out. I'll take pictures and show you. As you walk through my front door, there is a staircase that goes up and it hits a landing and a door. You open that door, you go up, you hit another landing, and you go up this way, and then you're upstairs, and he hangs out in that landing. And my kids used to do this thing. They couldn't explain it to me for the longest time, but they would walk up the stairs, open the door, and then they would run. And they would run past that landing. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Why are you sprinting through the house? They said, I don't like the way it feels right here. And you'd look up there every now and again, and you could see a very long, tall shadow of what appeared to be a very slender gentleman leaning up against the wall. And you could see where he had like cocked his leg out and was resting his foot against the wall. Just kind of a creepy energy, not a friendly at all.
You really don't have room for two tall men in your house, because your husband Spencer is what, like close to 7 foot?
He is 6'10" tall man. So all of the ceilings, all of the doorways in this home were made to accommodate men like that. Grandpa John Sitaway was a very big man. Grandpa Squire was a very tall, 6'8" man. My 19-year-old boy is growing yet again and will probably end up being as tall as his dad. So fortunately, there's only a couple of doorways they have to duck to get through.
I showed Tracy some pictures of you and Spencer, because like you said, he's 6'10" and you got to be what, 5'2" maybe?
5. Sometimes I'll squeak an extra inch in there with some good sneakers, but I'm very little, very petite.
Yeah, so the two of you together just looks so odd, because he's so much taller than you, which I didn't realize until we met each other in New Orleans. And you were both there. And I'm like, my goodness, I knew he was a big guy, but
yeah,
to see him in person.
I actually had a lady in the mall thought that Spencer was absconding with a child because I saw a kiosk in the middle of the mall. And it's always those like Mediterranean sea mud masks. Mm-hmm. I love them. And I started making my way over there and he was like, no, you're done. And he reached over and he grabbed me by my wrist and was kind of dragging me out. And a lady ran up and she said, excuse me. Hey, hey, hey. And when I turned around and she realized that I was a grown woman being hauled off by a overshopped husband, she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, no, it's okay. I get that. Like the size difference makes it look like him, you know, he's a kidnapper. He's not.
Now, before we started talking on air, you were starting to tell me a story that I told you to hold off on. So go ahead and tell me that story because I know it's going to be going in a good direction.
Yes. So the home was being rented out at the time. And the folks that were living here didn't know that if the birds nest in the walls, and we do have a starling problem, if you use the stoves, you have to have those nests and things cleared out of there, or it'll start a fire, and it did. And it burned a substantial portion of the downstairs living room. So they moved out, we assumed the property and started to remodel and gut everything and try and get it back to a livable state. And while we were doing that, I was downstairs, I'd had a couple of glasses of wine. I had a friend over who had also had a couple of glasses of wine. And we were kind of, you know, daydreaming about what I was gonna do with this house. And she said, well, didn't Spencer's dad pass away in here? And I said, oh yeah, he did. He was kind of unwell for a while and went to bed and fell asleep, didn't wake up. And I was pointing to the room that was going to be my bedroom. And there was lumber, very heavy lumber, stacked leaning this way against a wall, and it was all of the sudden all of these slats shut up, and clack 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 clack, and we both jump, and she's like, what the hell? And I said, I don't know how that fell, but I'm going to assume that maybe I just had it stacked wrong. And she goes, that's really heavy wood. I'm like, yeah. And I was continuing forward, letting her know, like, I want to do, you know, black walls and something really dark and really gothic. And she goes, fire. And I was like, no. And I turned around and sure enough, there was a bundle of kindling that was sitting on top of the wood burning stove that had ignited and burst into flames. Walked over and put it all out. Really small, little, you know, nothing, nothing serious. But I was like, holy shit, what is happening around here? And clear as day and almost as though he were in the room, Spencer's father, very loud, get the pigs. And she looked at me and said, who else is here? And I said, there's nobody here. And she goes, what pigs? And I said, I don't know. So I call Spencer. I'm in tears because it has scared me. Me and my other friend are now looking around the house thinking that one of my kids or my brother-in-law or even my husband is in there playing jokes on us. And I call Spencer. I'm like, where are you? He said, I'm at Subway. And I said, somebody's in the house. He was like, nobody's in the house. And I said, what pigs? What do you mean, what pigs? I said, a grown-ass man just told me to get the pigs. What pigs? He goes, oh, well, there's these like goofy potbelly pig pewter statue things on the porch. They belong to my dad. And I said, okay, where do they go? And he said, well, they're supposed to be on either side of the fireplace. And he said, you know, what's going on? No, don't worry about it. He told me to get the pigs. So I go outside and here I thought maybe, you know, the wine was a little stronger than expected. But another person was here with me. We go outside and get the pigs. I bring them in. I wash them off. I make sure they're clean, put them back. They are still on either side of the wood burning stove. And there they shall stay because it apparently upset him that his pigs were not in the house, so much in fact that he vocalized it. Two people heard it. I'll never forget that day. That was a very interesting time. After we completed the remodel and moved in, the kitchen was completely redone. It was a very small kitchen that had a large island. It was kind of an odd setup, and we had ripped all of that stuff out. And where my stove is was a small coffee table. And that is where Spencer's dad, Big Jim, used to sit and have his coffee and smoke. Hello. And I get up in the middle of the night to get water, go to the bathroom, let my dogs in and out, that kind of thing. And I got up one day, the kitchen is attached to my personal bathroom. And I walked through the bathroom into the kitchen and I could smell cigarette smoke. And Spencer doesn't smoke in the house. And so I stopped and kind of looked around, and the moon was coming through the window just so that it was casting a shadow down of a big, big person smoking in my kitchen. So I said, "Hi, Jim." And I went and got water, turned around and went back to bed. And Spence says, "Who are you talking to?" I said, "Your dad smoked Camel Wides." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Your dad's sitting in the kitchen." And he goes, "What?" And I said, "Your dad," I said, "where my stove is, was that his spot?" And he said, "Yeah, he had a TV up on top of the refrigerator, a little, you know, 13 inch that he used to watch the news in the morning." I said, "Yeah, your dad's sitting in there having a smoke in the kitchen." And he said, "You're so full of crap." And he got up and walked in there and he goes, "Oh my God, I can smell cigarettes." And I said, "Yeah, he's in there hanging out."
What was Spencer's whole mindset on ghosts and the paranormal? Is he a believer or a non-believer?
He wasn't. He's not sensitive to that kind of thing. He's not big into the paranormal or, you know, any kind of ghost adventures. He'll watch it with me. I think he thought that I was a lunatic when I started telling him things like, "I can see your dad. I can hear your dad." And I think he thought maybe I had also had too much wine, until my friend was like, "No, I'm telling you, clear as day, almost like he was standing behind us, your dad spoke." And I think he was probably a little more open to it when he realized that I wasn't yanking his chain about cigarette smoke in the kitchen. I think that he's probably a little more in tune with it when I point stuff out to him. I don't know if it makes him uncomfortable and that's why he doesn't believe or didn't, or if it's just something that he thought was always kind of, you know, "You guys are crackpots."
Does he believe that is was his dad down there?
Yeah. Yeah. He, as soon as I made the comment, I said, "Your dad smoked Camels, didn't he? Like studs, like unfiltered." And he said, "Yeah, he did. So you can smell it in the kitchen." And my parents were smokers. You know, a lot of the people in my family were smokers. So I can tell by the odor almost what brand or what they're smoking. I said, "Yeah, your dad's in there having a smoke." So, and the fact that I knew that where the stove was, I said, there was a table or something sitting there, right? Like I can see him sitting. Yeah. Yeah. That was his coffee table. So there's been a couple of things happen in the house that I think have opened his perception or opened his heart up a little bit. Just because I tell him, I'm like, I can feel him around me, you know. But we also have a very mischievous little in the house. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but likes to play tricks, likes to move things, hide things. It's like their favorite game ever. Walking into the kitchen and have every drawer, every cabinet open. And it scares you because when you walk in, you're like, "What the hell?" And you're like, and there's a lot in there now since I've remodeled, and I'm in there shutting cabinets and shutting drawers. I'm like, "You little shit," you know? I was having issues with my toilet not flushing right. And we have big, big trees, roots grow in, we have, you know, plumbing and sewer issues. And I was like, "Damn it, again, we're going to have to call the guy and have him roto root." And my tank is running. I'm like, "Ugh." So I pull the lid off and I look back there, and that little stinker had put brushes, washcloths, soap. One time I flushed my toilet and bubbles overflowed. And I was like, "What is happening?" And there was soap in my, like a foaming hand wash with the lid broke in my toilet. So every time you flushed, bubbles, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, not mean, not mad, very mischievous little in my home.
You know, what's funny is we have spent the latter part of about 15, 20 minutes talking about your house and ghosts in your house. And I don't even think that's what we were going to talk about today, was it?
Mostly I had wanted to talk about kind of some of the thoughts people had about, you know, paranormal activity in the house. Is it a spirit? Is it an energy? The amount of paranormal activity in this house, some days it's really, really high and some days it's really low. It seems to get stronger in the fall. I've been laying in the living room because Spencer snores quite aggressively, and I will go lay in the living room with my dogs. And I was in my big beanbag chair and had the fire going, and orbs of light, large orbs of light. You could hear it shooting across my living room. And I got so scared that I just froze, like a little guinea pig, you know, and I didn't dare move. And I sat and watched and listened to these orbs of light for a half an hour before I finally got the courage to get up and go back in my room. And I'm shaking Spence. I'm like, you got to come see this. And he, see what? And I was like, there are orbs of light shooting through the house. And he's like, you got to stop watching scary movies, because you're convinced that things are happening in this house. I'm like, I swear to God, you can come in here. And he came in and he sat and one across the living room. And he was like, all right, cool, back to bed. And I don't know if it made him uncomfortable. I don't know if it freaked him out, but he saw one. He was like, well, that was fun. And he wanted out of the living room. But yeah, this old house, as far as paranormal things, and maybe it's the area, you know, we have Blind Frog Ranch, we have Skinwalker, we have a lot of areas in the Uinta Basin that people either frequent because they like it, or they avoid it like the plague because it scares them. And this old house definitely has its fair share of visitors and fun stuff.
You know, I don't think I'd heard of Blind Frog Ranch until you mentioned it today. That was a new one on me.
So Blind Frog Ranch is a pretty recent development in the Uinta Basin. We have an entire store in Vernal dedicated to the ranch. They now have guided tours when season permits. You can go out there, check out where the unexplained sightings and some of the UFO sightings and the lights. There is also a natural hot spring out there that is reported to have some sort of healing property to it. And people will go out there, they'll even drink that water. And I am the same way. I'm like, I don't know, man, that's people soup. But, you know, if people get in there and kind of wait around. So to me, that's people soup. But, you know, for somebody like me that has terrible autoimmune symptoms, and people are saying, if you go out there and you sit in this water, if you drink this water, it helps. So I actually am going to head out there in the later spring. Right now it's still pretty cold out there. It's still pretty muddy. So to get out there is a little bit of a trek, but I guess if I need to take a little sip of people's soup and it's going to make me feel better, I mean, I'll give anything a whirl at this point.
Hey, you can always bring some of it home and just boil it and boil the people out.
Yeah, I'm going to filter it a little, see if I can't get some of the people out. So Blind Frog has really made its mark. It's pretty popular. Skinwalker obviously got very popular there for a while. And we saw a huge influx of celebrities, saw a huge influx of tourists. And we are now coming into that fun tourist season where people used to come here because Vernal is known as dinosaur land. We have a dinosaur quarry and a dinosaur museum where they've actually unearthed, excavated, and pulled all of these massive dinosaurs out of the earth, right? And now people are coming here because we have spooky stuff. And Post Malone, Shaquille O'Neal, we've had quite a few come through. The town lost its mind when Post Malone came through, because he came into town. He was like, he came through, went and had you know, lunch in restaurants and did some window shopping and stopped and posed for photos and went to the museum and stuff. He's actually a really nice fellow.
I was going to say, you know, when he first came out, I really didn't know what to think of him. But as time has gone on, I've seen enough stuff, and he's really big into the paranormal. And because I think he's been on an episode of Ghost Adventures, I believe. But I mean, he really does come across as just a kind of a cool guy. So I'll give you that.
He has set up, he's rooted down here in Utah. He has a lovely home out in the Alpines, but it seems like he's a really nice down-to-earth guy. I mean, really nice guy. We actually ran into him while he was doing some window shopping in town, and I was like, hey man, welcome to the area. Hey, thanks. Just real nice guy.
What else you got going on in your life right now?
So right now I started a meal prep and specialty food service here in town. I started meal prepping for myself to lose some weight and also help the symptoms of my autoimmune disease. I have Crohn's disease. So a lot of that is taken care of with diet. And a lot of my friends and family saw how well I was doing with that. And I got voluntold that I was also going to do that for them. And, you know, we're going to give you some money and you're just going to do ours too. Okay. And I was like, sure. And eventually I outgrew, you know, my small in-home kitchen operation, and it caught on like a house on fire. And now I have a whole shop, a whole different location, a whole shop dedicated to meal prep and specialty foods. I do like gluten, grain, sugar-free foods, stuff like that. And it has done really, really well. And that's what I'm doing now full-time, is running my own little food shop.
That stuff looks incredibly good. The strawberry cookies that were gluten-free, grain-free, sugar-free. I mean, I'm looking at it and I said, how can that be all that? Because it looks fantastic. And the cinnamon roll cookies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when I first started doing all this, the reason that I wanted to do it myself was because I had gone and spent all this money on similar foods that I'd purchased online. And I would get them home and eat them. And the straw that broke the camel's back was I ate a cookie that was the equivalent of eating something out of the kitty potty box. Texture was bad. Taste was bad. Everything was bad. And then I was upset that I'd spent all this money on it. And I was like, you know what? Forget this. I'll just figure out how to do it myself. And I did. And that's in large part why the kitchen does so well, is because I have figured out how to make things taste and feel almost like the real thing. So for people that can't have, you know, sugar due to diabetes, or, you know, kids that have epilepsy, and then people that have gluten and grain allergies, stuff like that, that's why I do what I do.
So are you still local only, or is this expanded to where you can ship across the country?
So I can ship some things. I'm in the process of trying to figure out an affordable way to ship cold. So shelf stable things like the cookies and the breads and that kind of thing I can ship, but I've got a lot of people that would like to do, you know, my cheesecakes, my sugar-free, gluten-free cheesecakes, or the meal prep and stuff. But shipping as a small guy, those cold containers, that's expensive. And so we're still ironing out some kinks, but for now I'm small.
So if people listening are interested in stuff like the cookies and the bread, the stuff with some shelf life, do you have a website or something they could go to take a look at what you offer?
If you, you can do at thelowcarbkitchen.utah, and that'll bring you to my Facebook and my Instagram. If anybody's ever interested in ordering, there is a phone number that you can call or you can message me. We're in the process of building an online ordering website so that people can place orders for cookies and cakes and that kind of thing.
Awesome. Everything you post looks so good. So
thank you.
I haven't had the privilege, obviously, of tasting any of it because you're so far away. But now that I know that I can order some of this stuff, then you can bet I'll be placing an order.
You should shoot me a shipping somewhere where I can ship some stuff, because I get to write off X amount of samples for people. So we should sample to Hillbilly Horror Stories so that you guys can try some of this stuff too.
Awesome. Angel, it's awesome having you on. It's been too long. It's been probably at least 2 years since you've been on with us.
Been a minute. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
I appreciate it. It was fun. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money.